Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, gentlemen who we've had the pleasure of having on the show numerous times over the years, Charles Robinson, NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. Charles, how are you today? And we appreciate your time.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we're closing in on the draft here in Cleveland. We're getting pumped. The stage is being built. They tore down warehouses. The back of the stage is going to be Lake Erie, so we're hoping Roger doesn't slip or anything like that. We're excited about it. Anybody else pumped about this draft?
You guys are already in draft mode, huh?
Oh, we are. Well, it's going to be right.
This is Cleveland.
Hey, we're pumped.
We normally are in draft mode.
We're 26, Charles.
365 days a year, yes.
All right. It's Friday. Okay, it's Friday. Let's see what time is. Okay, it's 11 o'clock, 11:05.
Yeah.
You guys can go ahead and remember that I reminded you.
Yeah.
The draft isn't here yet. There's still other things, you know, that can happen with the Cleveland Browns. So just, you know. It's every, you know.
You can't do that.
You can't drop that
plenty
one.
Of...
No way. You got to deliver something on that.
I'm
Clowny.
Not delivering it.
Clowny.
You guys, listen, you guys know that I keep things, you know, close to the vest. And you know, I'm really good at keeping my mouth shut when I'm supposed to keep my mouth shut. But I just say, look, you know, the draft is coming and fans should be excited about that. But as we have seen in the past with the Cleveland Browns and the, you know, the regime that has taken over, they tend to work every single day, you know, to make the team better. So I wouldn't just assume that, you know, look, it's, do I think the team is in full draft mode right now? No. Do I think that there are other ways that the team could make itself better? Yes. Do I think that, you know, the team is going to make itself better before the draft? Yes. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see what that happens. Just remember, it's Friday at now 11:06.
I'm writing this down.
I think the Browns are going to be better before you get to the draft. And, you know, I think the great thing about this offseason for the Browns is that they've addressed enough that they can, you know, they can be aggressive in the draft. They don't necessarily have to. They got a nice haul of picks. I think, what, like 9 picks? Am I right about that? I think it's 9 draft picks.
Extra's in the third.
I'm sorry?
Yep, you're right. Extra's in the third and fourth rounds.
Yeah, extra's in the third and fourth. And so, you know, that gives you the ammunition to sit there and go, hey, do we really need to onboard 9 picks? Or can we take some of these picks and maybe, you know, be a little more aggressive in the draft at identifying, you know, some things that – we would be interested in. I, you know, I don't want to get super detailed, but I can tell you, I think, you know, it's going to be a draft that if it falls the way it could, and I'm telling you right now, this is a very uncertain draft year because so many pass catchers and quarterbacks are going to dominate the first half of the draft that, you know, people are kind of wondering, where are some of these key opportunities that are going to fall? So you sit there and you go, okay, maybe there's some edge guys that could be opportunity guys that slip a little, and you have an ability to maybe make a move for one of those guys, or one of these good corners could slip a little further than expected. And then you have an opportunity to maybe get aggressive. The Browns don't have to do that. But again, the fact that they've done well enough in the off season to give themselves flexibility, you know, says to me that, particularly if there's a good defensive player who can help you know, in the secondary or on that defensive line or maybe even in the linebacking crew, that this could still be a team that you know, moves itself in that first round. But I do want to underscore that I do think this team's going to get better between now and the draft.
Mm. Charles, let me ask you the question this way. Let me ask you this. We're going to let you leave it at that. I don't think so. Listen, do you think the Browns would feel confident going on the field next year without having their first-round draft pick having to be a major contributor going into the season? Like, what I'm saying to you is, if you look at the Browns roster, their starters right now, do you think they could feel confident walking out on the field with that, or you feel like this is definitely going to go in a different direction?
No, I mean, I don't think I think that. I mean, it depends. It kind of depends again how this draft falls, because if you're sitting there and you're saying, I'll give you an example, particularly in that defensive front. Okay, so in the front seven, I think if someone gets, you know, to the point in the first round where they feel like they can make a move and go and, you know, seize an opportunity and get a guy, or if they feel like, you know, someone's falling to them, I think they would expect that player to be a contributor. Like, if you're going to get one of the top, you know, three or four corners, or you're going to get one of the top three or four edge guys, those are contributors. I think those are guys that should contribute. Now, do I think that I would say that, look, if they move to get a player, that's a player that they're not sitting there going, hey, you know, 3 years from now, this could be a major contributor. No, they want to go and get, you know, young players who can get into the system and the culture right away and contribute right away. So there's no, you know, could there be offensive line depth picks, you know, later in the draft? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, could there be guys that, you know, you want to be maybe on the second rung of your depth chart that, you know, factor in 2022 or 2023? Sure. But I would say at the top of the draft, they're going to go after guys that are going to contribute immediately, and I would expect it to be defensively, unless something really crazy happens and you just see one of those, you know, top three receivers, you know, unexpectedly just free fall, or, you know, like Kyle Pitts isn't going to fall, but it would have to really be in a very special offensive player for that to be, you know, the pick for the Browns in the first round. I really feel like this is still a team that's really wrenching on its defensive look and the talent that it's going to bring to the table. And I don't just mean in the draft. I mean, between now and the draft, I think defensively, this is going to be a team that's continuing to try and make itself better, you know, and, you know, tomorrow through the weekend, through next week, you know, into the draft. So.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports joining us on Friday, April 9th, when at 11:06, Charles said the Browns will be better before the draft, without saying trade or free agent signing. Charles, trade, free agent signing?
Got nothing Charles? For you.
Charles, come on, man.
I can, you know, you just know what's being worked on out there. And, you know, it is a team that, you know, I've told you guys this in the past. I mean, they don't take many days off. That's for sure. And we, you know, we talked previously about how they were going about free agency and being selective. And this is really one of those teams when you go out there and you talk about opportunity signings. I think that, interestingly enough, I think Cleveland is a place that you're going to see, particularly when you sit there and look at the mid-level sort of free agent talent that's still out there. You know, Cleveland's a spot where it's like, hey, could you go to Cleveland and do a show-me deal? Because they've done show-me deals with guys. You know, Tack McKinley, that's a show-me deal. And there are still guys out there that are sitting there going, you know what, I could go. It looks like good, positive things are happening there. And – you know, have a year and then maybe it parlays into a long-term relationship with this team. So I would say the Browns at the forefront of the teams that, even though, you know, the salary cap money is tight for the Browns right now, let's be honest, teams can be creative when they see opportunities. And I would say the Browns are amongst a handful of teams that, you know, feel like, hey, we can get creative if the right opportunity presents itself, we'll go to work on maybe some other internal contracts and, you know, try to facilitate something to make us better. So that's a positive thing. I think Browns fans should be happy that it's not a team that sits there and says, okay, well, we're out of salary cap space. They don't over mortgage, but they can still, you know, finesse things a little bit and maybe stay in the race for players that other teams might consider them out of.
Yeah, I was going to say, Charles, I want to switch gears. Too much writing on this Deshaun situation, what's going on. Like, Jeff and I were talking about this yesterday. We're like, how, you know, and everyone here that there's another team that's still interested in Deshaun Watson playing for them next year, and where is this thing going? Is it this? It's not, nothing looks good.
I mean, it's gone about as badly as it could. I mean, you go back to March 16th, and it's, you know, one, you're looking at one person filing a suit, and the way it was sort of trotted out there by the lawyer on Instagram was so unconventional that I think it gave everyone pause, you know, to the legitimacy of it. But you quickly went from 1 to 6 between a Tuesday and a Thursday back in the middle of March. And then all of a sudden it went from 6 to now 22. And, you know, I will say today, and I actually just literally before I got on with you guys, I filed a story this morning. You know, they had a somewhat of a interesting court win today in that, you know, Deshaun Watson's defense team essentially said, look, all these women that are accusing him of these alleged assaults under Jane Doe in the state of Texas, they don't have the civil protections to keep themselves hidden. So they should have to refile. All of them should have to refile with their names. And, well, at least one should have to refile their names. He won that argument, Rusty Harden, Deshaun Watson's attorney did, which essentially means that what's going to happen here is pretty much every woman who filed a civil suit inside the borders of the state of Texas, saying that the alleged hurt inside the state of Texas, is going to have to face refiling with their names. And, you know, there's chances that all of the women that within the, you know, saying it, that things occurred inside the state of Texas will refile. There's a chance that some won't. Some will go, no, I don't want my name attached to this. I've seen what's happened, you know, since two of the accusers have attached their names, you know, Ashley Solis, one of them, the one that made the tearful statement. She's got a professional Instagram page that's turned into a mess. And you know, some of these women could say, I don't want to be part of that. Like, that's not, I thought I was going to be able to seek my justice without having to, you know, face whatever public scrutiny is out there, and they might not want that. So, you know, he earns a small court victory today, but I would tend to say in the larger picture, you have the Houston Police Department that's investing a criminal complaint. You have the NFL that's, you know, doing its own separate investigation with a completely different bar for, you know, its, I guess, judicial needs that it meets out. And you have a civil litigant. It's, you don't get a much bigger mess than this. And I tend to, if people say, hey, the teams really care about this, I tend to point to the Carolina Panthers. But I will tell you, absolutely had major league interest in Deshaun Watson in January and February. And we're ready to drop a massive draft pick package in the laps of the Houston Texans, who, as this came out and unfolded, paid a lot of attention to it, did their due diligence. And once that, you know, Houston Police Department criminal complaint was filed, they're like, nope. And they'd already, you know, started up discussions with the Jets about Sam Darnold. And I think that really gave a lot of momentum to them. So a lot of teams have walked away from this. The 49ers were early, you know, early into this, they walked away. The Panthers, early into this, they walked away. I don't think the Jets would have any interest unless it was just an absolute fire sale situation. You know, the Broncos, George Payton, the new GM there, is very risk averse. I just can't believe that this would be something he would want to onboard with this at an undetermined point in time. And Watson's own camp, I think, really wants people to believe the Miami Dolphins are still hot on this. I got to tell you, I don't see any indication that that would be something that would come to fruition. I think the only thing, the only way this changes now for the Texans is if miraculously between now and the draft or between now and the season, there's some kind of tidal wave legal change in the case that completely reshapes the landscape, or the Texans just go, we got to offload them, but first on the table for us. We just got to take it and move on.
Charles, when September rolls around, if things don't change in any drastic way, can the Houston Texans even roll him out as a starting quarterback?
I don't know that. I mean, I think that the NFL, I think Roger Goodell is facing mounting pressure after Nike walks. Well, they don't walk away. They suspend their endorsement agreement. But Beats by Dre, owned by Apple, walks away. Says, you know, we're severing our relationship with him. Reliant Energy in Houston, huge energy company, severs their relationship with him. HEB, a giant grocery store chain in Houston, says, hey, we didn't even renew after 2020, so we don't have a relationship with this guy. Those are other corporations that have already said, hey, our standard, we feel that there's enough here for our standard. You know, our relationship has to change with him. Something's wrong here, and we're taking these steps. The NFL has not done that. And so you start to question, like, what is the NFL's standard? I think that the commissioner's exempt list, which is paid leave, hey, you can't, you know, you're set to the side. You can't be part of team activities. You still get paid. The standard for that is, do you think there's a possibility that an infraction of the personal conduct policy took place? You guys can go ahead and ask yourselves, you know, 22 civil suits, the Sports Illustrated Anonymous report, you have the Houston Police Department investigation. You have Watson's own attorney continually repeating the statement that, hey, he never forced anything. He never coerced anything, but never saying, hey, none of these incidents happened. You know, these being described here, the encounters, he's not saying these did not happen at all. So Roger Goodell has to sit there and go, is there a chance that there was a personal conduct policy violation? I think between now and September, if nothing changes, there's a likelihood he lands on the commissioner exempt list. And if he doesn't, I think there's a very high likelihood of a lot of criticism on the NFL saying, what's the standard now? Like, if this doesn't meet a potential violation of the personal conduct policy, then what does, and what does that mean for the future of Deshaun Watson? What I'm trying to say in a roundabout way is, I think there's a solid chance he ends up on the commissioner's exempt list. And then at that point, the NFL has to go about things the way it did with Antonio Brown, even though he never landed on the exempt list because he was a free agent. They have to go about deciding, where are we at with this? Who have we spoken to? And is there a potential suspension here for him, and make that decision prior to the start of the 2021 season.
Charles, thank you very much. We appreciate your time. Good thoughts on Watson, really cluing us in on that and leaving us with a mystery as to what the Browns are going to do for the draft.
Sorry, guys. I'm always long-winded, and somehow in that long-windedness, I can steal key pieces of information about the Browns that I know you guys
don't. No, don't worry. We're going to spend the next
– Yeah.
Go ahead.
Did I not inspire the next segment?
Thanks.
We yes. talked in free agency. I said, watch the linebackers, right? Anthony Walker, right? Happens. And then, I said, hey, watch the defensive line and tackle, you know. So I'm just telling you, I think this is a team that can and will get better, and I know everyone's going to be focused on the draft, but, you know, I think there's still some potential fireworks here for the Browns. So you just have to, you know, sit and wait and see what happens. A lot of different avenues for them to continue to pursue. So.
Yeah, I think you just took us off draft watch for.
Yeah, we did. Thanks. Charles, talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.